picture for some of you, like where we live in Iowa in the United States, we have long, hard winters. All the leaves drop from the trees. All the grass that was once green now turns to a very dull brown. And there's really, you see no life. Okay, there, you really see no life. Someone's asked me to raise my voice a little bit. So in this dream, I was in a neighborhood of houses, and it was that type. It was still pretty brown, no leaves, and yet I knew spring was coming. The trees were about ready to bud. It was going to start greening up. But in this particular moment, it's a time when everything's bare, that everything is apparent what's around you. If you've ever been in a winter time where there's no rain or anything, you have all the debris, you have all the dirt, and it was, I could see, you know, all the neighbors' yards, they were filled with debris and all sorts of garbage, and there were two thoughts that came to me. I thought, this is an excellent time for all my neighbors to go out and clean up their yard, while they still could see it, because, you know, once grass starts growing up in the bushes, it covers up the debris. But the second thing that came to me, I wondered how many of my neighbors would be willing to go out and clean up the debris. Hallelujah. I don't think that it needs too much of an interpretation, do you? Amen. So I think it's something that as the Spirit of God is moving in our midst this weekend, we have to really consider our own heart's condition. Because the next thing I want to speak on is something the Lord also spoke to me, is to speak on the end times. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you believe that we are living in the end times? I'd like you to raise your hands. I see everybody, or most people, are all raising their hands. You know, I've been living in what I believe has been the end times of the last days for 35 years. When I got saved in 1980 and the Lord brought us into the kingdom, the sons of God, or the kingdom message, within about 4 or 5 months after we were saved, we began to hear that we were in the end times. And, oh boy, I'll tell you, I did not consider myself ready. I was saved, young people. How many of you young people are under 27 years of age? Raise your hands. Okay. Praise the Lord. How many of you that raise your hands, are you saved? Are you born again? Well, thank God for that, because I wasn't saved till I was 27 years of age. And then when I heard that we were living in the end times and Jesus was coming very soon, I was not prepared. I thought, oh my goodness, if only I was saved as a young boy, I could have better prepared myself for the hour, because we really believed that Jesus was going to be here at almost any time. And I said, oh God, give me enough time that I be prepared. Now that was 34 years ago. I'm still asking God, give me a little more time. Because I'm still not. And let me ask, I'm saying it to myself today. How many of you are ready for Jesus coming if he came today? Maybe you're ready? This young man says he's ready. Well, young man, I think you're the only one that raised your hand. But I believe God wants us ready. Because you know what? There is going to be a day when Jesus is coming. And it is a day, and you know, it's sort of interesting, because the Lord spoke to me that I was to speak on the end times. And you know what? The Lord came to me in the night season, and I said, oh my God, Lord. I says, I'm going to be talking to people that know about the end times. I'm going to be talking to people that are in ministry that know the end times. And the Lord said, I said, it's like preaching to the choir. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like preaching to people that have heard it and heard it and heard it. And you know what the Lord said? You need to speak about the end times. Do you know we can hear about the end times? We can have all the knowledge of the end times, and yet we're not ready.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because it's one thing to know all the doctrines. It's another thing to know all the revelations. But it's another thing to be walking in them and being prepared and ready. So I want us to start in the book of Acts, chapter 2. And it's very interesting when you look up the end times. You won't find end times, but you'll see the last days, or the latter end, or the end of days. But Peter, as we are very well aware of this chapter 2, there's something that happened in the day of Pentecost when the Spirit of God fell.
Amen.
And they were in the upper room, and the Spirit of God fell upon them, and they came out speaking in other tongues. And they were in the midst of Jerusalem in a time where there was, I don't know, thousands of people, and they thought that these men were drunk. And they said they were men full of new wine in verse 13. But Peter began to speak, and then he began to prophesy. And he said in verse 16, he says, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." Hallelujah. "And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen. Hallelujah. So we talk about the end times. We're talking about the great. Now, in this verse it says the great and notable day of the Lord. But we also see it in other verses. It says the great and terrible day of the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, it's terrible for those that don't know God, but it's going to be great for the sons of God that call upon His name. Amen?
Yeah.
You know, some people don't want to hear about the end times. And I wouldn't want to hear about the end times if I did not have the hope that Jesus Christ is not only my Savior, but I'm wanting to make Him my Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because there is a... what it says here in this scripture, he says he's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. That who can be saved, God will try to save them. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
But many people don't want to be saved. Many people have hardened their hearts. Hallelujah. So we see in this scripture verse that it's speaking about God is going to do something in the end times more than what He has ever done in the previous generations. So you and I are part of a generation that Jesus is coming for. Amen? And if He's coming for us, there is something that God wants us to do. Or at least put ourselves in the position for God to be working within us. Amen? If we could turn over to Revelation chapter 7. Now, chapter 7 of Revelation, starting in verse 1. "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." So the earth here is indicative of carnal earth. The sea is the nations, and the tree is the Christian. So God is holding back the four winds, not only holding it back for the sinner, but for the saint. Amen? Now there's a reason for that. And verse 2 says, "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees." Or you could put there, hurt not the carnal man, hurt neither the nations nor the Christians till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And verse 4 says, and I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. And we know that number 144,000 is a symbolic number, not a natural number. Amen? So, the four angels are holding back the four winds. Even now, as we're talking, God is holding back the destruction. The judgment is upon the world because of sin and wickedness. Amen? Now, I'm going to share some things with you, and I think that you know them, but it's better for me to share them with you because it's safe for all of us. Amen? Yeah. Now, your Bible speaks that there are seven mysteries. Seven is the number of what?
Perfection,
completion. We also see that seven is also synonymous with what? The seven pieces of furniture, right? In the tabernacle. And we're also speaking of the seven churches.
7 days of creation.
The what?
7 days of creation.
7 days of creation. Amen. There also talks about the seven trumpets. Now the trumpets speak of messages. And if we look at these seven mysteries, we see the seven mysteries in the seven pieces of furniture. The first mystery is, let me put the brazen altar, the first piece of furniture, which is symbolic of what?
Salvation.
Salvation. How many of us have tasted a salvation?
Oh,
yeah. Huh? Yeah. The reality of being saved turns us from being dead in sin and trespasses to where our soul becomes alive through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Because it's the blood that makes atonement for the soul.
Amen.
So, you know, this was broken forth with Jesus Christ when he birthed the church on Calvary, but then it was hidden in the dark ages, and it wasn't until Martin Luther came to an understanding when the mysteries were shut up that he found out in the book of Romans that the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we have experienced it, or I believe that most here have experienced salvation. If you have not experienced salvation, you need to go to someone to ask about what this salvation is so that you might experience it yourself.
Amen.
You know, it's not something that you just write a four-page report on. It is something that is alive within us, that gives us the strength to be able to begin our journey with God. This is something that is not only a reality to us here, but to all of the church that has been born again. That mystery has been broken to them. Huh? And that's why we can differentiate between denominations and what the true church of God is. If a person is born again, that means that he becomes part of the church of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, that's the first mystery. The second mystery is the, let me put the second piece of furniture here, the brazen laver, which is symbolic of
baptisms,
which also represents sanctification. And consecration. Now, both of these pieces of furniture are in the outer court. And there are a lot of our brethren that are born again in various denominations, whether they be the Baptist denomination or even denominations that may not necessarily believe the doctrine, because there are some born-again people in various denominations, even though they may not actively preach it. I know some Catholics that are born again. Can we say amen to that? Anybody disagree? I was a Catholic when I was born again. So, but the second piece of furniture on baptisms, again, we're talking of mysteries, you understand. And to most of the saved church, they have somewhat of an understanding of that mystery. Is that not correct? They believe in baptism by immersion, right? Again, the Baptist church, that's their foundation, to be saved and to be water baptized. Of course, the Baptists believe in water baptism, but many or most do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. All right? Now, there are many Pentecostal churches that believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, don't they? Amen? So again, they're having a mystery that is being opened up to them. But when we get to the third part of that mystery, because remember, we're talking about baptisms, that there's how many baptisms? There's three. There's water baptism, there's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and then there is the baptism into Christ. Now, when that mystery, the full mystery, is broken, you start to see that the church that has been bought by the blood, it becomes narrower. Because there is a vast amount of people that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit that have not an understanding that there is even a third baptism. Hallelujah. There's some that feel that once they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, they got it all. And they have it with the evidence of speaking in tongues and maybe moving some of the gifts of the Spirit. But that wasn't the purpose that God gave us the Holy Ghost. It wasn't just to get us goosebumps. It wasn't just for us to be speaking in tongues. But do you know why God gave us the Holy Ghost? Huh? To bring us into Christ. But it's to make us holy. Huh? That's why we need the Holy Ghost, huh? So we need the Holy Spirit to make us holy. Anybody here can make themselves holy? In their own strength and their own ability? No. All we can do is flesh can beget flesh. But spirit begets spirit. And so we need the Holy Spirit in order for us to come into His nature and His character. Hallelujah. Again, these two mysteries are also the two pieces of furniture. They're also in the outer court. When we go into the third piece of furniture, which would be the lampstand, which is symbolic of our union with Christ. Now, in order for us to have an understanding or be able to move in that mystery, we must not only be born again, we must not only be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but we must walk in obedience to the Spirit, because in Corinthians it says, by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. Amen. And when we look at the lampstand, it's talking about our union with God. Amen. The ability for the Spirit of God to move through us even while we are yet a human agent. Hallelujah. So, remember, the lampstand is what? Solid gold. And what is gold representative of? Of what? The nature of God. Oil is representative of the Holy Spirit, and the wick is us, our humanity. Huh? When we die to self, God is able to work through us. Amen? Now, remember, we're talking about mysteries. We're talking about the tabernacle. And now we're talking about the operation in the holy place. Now remember, we're talking about the end times. And when we look into Revelation and we see Revelation chapter 11, we see that well, let's turn there for a second. Revelation 11 in verse 1. And John was saying, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city they shall tread under 42 months. Now, in the end time, we see that the outer court is going to be destroyed. And I should say it's already been destroyed, because the whole outer court has gone away from God. But it says that even the holy city is going to be tread upon. Now, if we go into and we look at Matthew 24, it says, When you shall see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, where it ought not to stand, the people of God are to what? Flee into the mountains. Hallelujah. So that means that even though when we look into these mysteries and we look into the holy place, that there is going to be a people of God that will have a certain understanding of this third mystery of the lampstand. The fourth mystery is the table of showbread. Put that in. Well, this is a good color for the table of showbread. Table of showbread is feeding off of Christ. But feeding of Christ. And let me write down the fifth one while we are talking, which is the altar of incense. Which is the offering up of the soul. Now, in the operation of the holy place, we see these mysteries are being revealed to us. Amen? The fourth one, the feeding off of Christ. What are we doing as we gather here? There's a feeding that we take place, right? Sister Ozzie, is there a feeding that you can do? Could you receive the same type of feeding in your hotel room right now as you would in this meeting? No, because there's something, there's three ways we feed off of Christ. One is the Christ within. There's a place in our relationship with God that we feed upon Him. There is a feeding that we feed among the brethren as we speak of the Lord, as we commune together. There is a life we get from the brethren, right? But there is also the third dimension of feeding off of Christ, which is Christ in our midst. Hallelujah. That it says where two or three are gathered in His name, He's there in our midst, even though we don't believe it at times.
Oh, yes.
Huh? If we really believed it at times, I think we wouldn't be so sluggish as we are.
That's right.
Huh? Or we would think, oh, it's just another meeting. If we really believed that Christ was in our midst, do you think we would be a different people?
Oh, yes.
Huh? Hallelujah. So these are things that God is breaking and has been breaking to the church, these mysteries. And as we begin to grow and we begin to exercise ourselves in these mysteries or in these operations, there is a process that is going on that God has ordained to bring His people unto perfection. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Word of God says that He's coming back for a bride, what? Without spot or without blemish. Amen? He's coming back for the foolish virgins, right? Okay, I'm just seeing if you're awake. He's coming back for the wise virgins, right? We look into Matthew 25, and we see that there were 10 virgins. 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. All the virgins had oil in their what? In their lamps, which is symbolic of having oil in their spirit, right? But the difference between the wise and the foolish were that the wise had oil, or they had the Holy Spirit in their soul. The foolish virgins had it. Oh, they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they did not obey the Spirit.
Jesus.
Therefore, they did not allow the Holy Spirit to be worked within their soul. Hallelujah. You know, one of the greatest revelations that has come to the church in these last days is the apostolic word. Just a few amens. You know, when I was first saved, God brought a revelation, an apostolic word about the saving of the soul and what the soul is.
Amen.
The soul consists of four parts: our mind, our will, our emotions, and our desires. And the prize of heaven and hell is the soul. The devil and God are after the same thing.
That's right. Yes.
Huh?
Amen.
They want the soul, but God wants a redeemed soul.
Oh, yeah.
And the devil wants a corrupt soul.
Right. Yes.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Right.
You know, brethren, honestly, you know, the revelation of God is so simple, yet so deep.
Yes, sir.
So simple, Brother Easy, yet so deep. To think, I'm made of four parts. My mind, my will, my emotions and desires. But go and allow God to have His way to change it. That's another thing, isn't it?
Mm.
Huh?
That's right.
It's another thing to have your mind stayed upon Him. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee, because He trusted in thee. Hallelujah. Do you think that the principles of God do not stand forever? How many of us ever battle for the control of our mind?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? How many of us find out that our mind is so easily diverted?
Yeah.
Huh? And gravitate towards darkness?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And it takes an intensity. It takes something out here in the outer court, the second piece of furniture, the place of our sanctification and our consecration. Hallelujah. Do you know that we do not get the baptism of the Holy Ghost unless there is a hunger for the Holy Ghost? Huh?
Right.
What does it say? It says, "And those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If we don't hunger and thirst for righteousness, will we be filled? No. So there is a place that God sees. You know, it's amazing how God works. He takes a person like me and you. We're bound in sin and trespasses, and He comes and He reveals His Son to us. We accept Him in our lives. It's a free gift. Salvation's a free gift. Whosoever will believe on His name shall not perish, but is entitled to come into eternal life. Hallelujah. But it takes something from that desire that God then wants a response from us. And that's evident in the second piece of furniture, which is the brazen laver, which means our covenant with God to be baptized or to go all the way with Him. That we say, God, I thank you, Jesus, for saving me. I know that I am a sinner and I am bound, and you came, you forgave my sins. Now I want to die, because your word tells me that in order for me to live, I must first, like a corn of wheat, go into the earth and die. And so my baptism, or my covenant with God, is a covenant of death and resurrection. God just says, George, are you willing that the old man dies? Oh, yes. And who wouldn't want the old man to die? Especially if you lived in this vessel for 27 years and you experienced death, get rid of it. But in it, God says, you die, but I'm going to raise you up. Zoe, her name means life. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
God says he will raise us in newness of life. Do you know that these mysteries continue to work in our soul, in our being?
Amen.
Huh? Every day, Paul, from the day that I was saved, that first mystery is still working.
Praise the Lord.
Wake up. Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for your life.
Oh, yeah.
Baptism. Amen. The day that I was water baptized. Well, first I was baptized in the Holy Ghost because nobody was teaching us the proper way. Or I thought the proper way. Got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and then he said I needed to be water baptized.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I did. It was several months later. In the cold Mississippi while there was ice yet. We got water baptized. It was cold. But I was so glad to be water baptized because I knew I had to fulfill and walk in obedience with God. And do you know God? You know, this is, if I can just explain to you what I'm feeling right now. Here God loves a person like me, saves me, anoints me, and fills me with His Spirit, and begins to not only bring that, but to bring me out of all of the confusion of the churches. All of the things. Back in 1980, the most popular movement was the faith movement. The Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Kenneth Copeland Ministries, Charles Capp. All the bookstores were filled with them. Oh, just believe everything, you know, is possible. But, you know, they moved in faith. But it was a faith that was based on their natural appetites. It wasn't something that brought them unto perfection. And you know, I met good brethren in those movements. I met brethren that loved the Lord, but I saw that the end of what they were involved in was not bringing them to the place that God then began to bring us into an understanding that God has a church that is seeking after something much deeper than what the contemporary Christian community was seeking after.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Right.
God brought to us the apostolic word, and with it he brought to us the understanding of the fivefold ministry. Hallelujah. Many churches do not believe in the fivefold ministry. They believe in the teacher. They may believe in the shepherd via calling them the pastor. But boy, if you begin to talk to them, and maybe some of the churches might believe in a prophetic realm, but they don't believe in the apostles. The apostles and prophets, oh no, that was done far away. I tell you what, if I believed that, I would not be here today. I would not be here today, except the fact that God brought a revelation to us, and God began to work with us, not only myself, but other brethren, in our fellowship. And God was faithful to bring the fivefold ministry to us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Which is representative in the holy place. The bars in the structure. Amen.
Amen.
And with that fivefold ministry, they began to move in the Spirit and they began to exhort us. They began to build a foundation in us that began to lay down something that helped us to escape the wave of the contemporary Christian message that was permeating not only the United States but throughout the world.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So if it's in the United States, it's in Nigeria and it's in London. Hallelujah. So we began to grow in this message or in this understanding, and there are things that God began to bring to us by His Spirit. Now the soul. We're talking about something that is going on that's going to be the determining factor whether we will be going into the Lord at midnight or whether we are not.
Amen.
It's your soul.
Yeah.
It's the condition of your soul that's going to determine whether you're going to be the five among the five wise or the five foolish. Now, as we look at here, remember, we're going through the mysteries, and the mysteries are breaking forth and bringing an understanding to the church in this hour. let me just write the last two down. Let's see. Let's put them in blue. So we have the mercy seat, which is the overshadowing. And the seventh mystery, or the seventh piece of furniture, is the Ark of the Covenant. Which is indicative of the sons of God, or the
man-child.
Thank you. The coming forth of the man-child. You know, there's so much on the end times. We could spend so much. When I think of Revelation 11 and Revelation 12, I think Brother Bert was touching on that last night, weren't you, Brother Bert? Talking about Revelation 12 and the woman coming forth, or the woman standing on a church, bringing forth a church, bringing forth a man child. How many of us know about the man child? Raise your hands. Many do, some don't. If you don't, we have some books here, many books that you could probably take. One of the best books is The Pattern. A number of books back here that speak about the kingdom of God and the man child company. So what is being revealed to the church is the seven mysteries, but it's not only in an understanding, but it is an operation of what it's going to do inside of you that's going to determine whether you will make it to where the seventh mystery will be revealed inside of you. Hallelujah. Amen. How many of us that have an understanding that God's going to come first? He's come first within us.
Amen.
And he wants to bring forth a first fruit company in us. He wants a many-membered body. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if you thought I forgot about Revelation 7, I have not. Because the time that we're in is God is holding back the four corners of the winds from the four corners of the earth. Is the earth flat? Is there four corners to the natural earth?
No.
Well, if you're back somewhere around the 10th century, they probably say yes, because they believe the world was flat. But it's round. So we see that it is not speaking of a natural earth, but a spiritual earth. How many of us are we considered earth? Huh?
Yes.
What did God say to Adam? Thou art dust, and into dust thou shalt return. We're made of earthly elements. Amen? And we do have four corners. We have our soul. Hallelujah. God's holding back, brethren, for you and me, because it says here that he's holding back until what? Till he has sealed the servants of our God in their forehead, in their mind. Hallelujah. There is a mark that is coming upon the earth, which is called the mark of the beast. So we have the opportunity to be marked. Right? One way or the other.
Yeah.
I have an opportunity to be marked one way or the other. I can turn and allow the world to mark me and become not only number six, man, but 666, and become totally like a beast, 666.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But I do not want to be like that. I want to receive the mark of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So God is saying, I'm holding it back, brethren. I'm holding back destruction. Destruction that is coming for the earth for the judgment of sin and wickedness. He's holding it back. Why? Because of us. Because of the people of God that he's waiting to for us to be marked. Now, how could God be waiting for us to be marked? Except for he's waiting for us to get the oil inside of us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Get the oil inside of your thinking. Get the oil inside of your emotions, your desires and your will, so you can be changed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's not a one-time process. It's not a week process. It's not a month process. It's a walk process.
Mm-hmm.
But we do not know if Jesus is going to come tomorrow, Brother Coyote. We don't know if he'll come next month. But boy, oh boy, he's got to come soon.
Amen.
The world is getting wickeder and wickeder and wickeder. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is that a right word, wickeder? I don't know if it is, but it's very wicked. Hallelujah. It's very wicked. Now, so God's holding it back. But if we go over, let us look in the counterpart of Ezekiel chapter 9. Ezekiel chapter 9. Brother Chijoki was speaking a lot on the areas here in Ezekiel in chapter 8. You were talking about the worshiping of Ashtoreth and the weeping for Tammuz. And so actually chapter 9, it just carries on what was happening in chapter 8. Because of all the wickedness. Now, we're not talking about the world here. We're talking about the church. Because we were talking about Israel and the wickedness. Can you imagine what God did to Israel? To make his people a byword and such a display before all the world because of what they did. He had to destroy his people. He had to destroy Israel from ceasing to be of a nation. Why? Because they disobeyed God. Not just once, not just twice, but continually they turned their backs to God and they went to other gods and serving them. You were talking about idolatry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we see here Ezekiel. Now, Ezekiel, we know that the word, it happened in Ezekiel's time, but it was also a word for the end time church. Because the church in this time has come just like natural Israel. It has come to its lowest estate.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
The people of God cannot even discern between good and evil.
Right.
All sorts of theatrics and wickedness and confusion of faces is happening in many churches throughout this world. They have churches that are accepting gay marriages. There was one church, I remember, on the east coast of the United States. There were 200 members. You know what they did? They made a pact that they would not marry heterosexual weddings in their church anymore until the state recognized homosexual marriages so they could have it in the church. Can you imagine that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When we look at the reality where it says in Matthew 24, when you shall see the abomination that makes desolate, stand in the holy place where it ought not to stand, we have to flee, brethren.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That means that the holy place church has become full of confusion of faith. Devils, yes. All sorts of wickedness. That's what's making the difference between five wise and five foolish. So let us look here at chapter 9 of Ezekiel. And chapter 8, again, I don't want to go through that, but it was Ezekiel's vision of the jealousy and the chambers of imagery that the people of God and the elders and the ancients of days were doing that caused God to go far from his sanctuary. And so in chapter 9, it says that he cried also in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city. What city? Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem in terms of the tabernacle? The holy place church, right?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. He said, cause them to have charge over the city to draw near, and every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth towards the north, and every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen. A man was clothed, but you were talking about the linen today, Brother Jokes. What is linen? It's white, right? it represents the righteousness of God. So six men with their slaughtering weapons in their hand, that God was going to send judgment out. And yet he says one man came forward, and it says he had a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem. You could say, go through the midst of the holy place. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And set a mark upon the foreheads of men. Was it all men that he was setting a mark upon? No. It says, he says, for those that sigh and cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Do you know what that means? That means that if we want to be marked with the mark of God, there has to be something inside of us that hates wickedness.
Amen.
There has to be something in us that begins to look and to see who was it? It says that, who was it? Isaiah in chapter 6. When he saw the glory of God, he said, woe is me, I'm undone.
Yes.
I'm an unclean man with unclean lips, and I dwell among an unclean people.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God help us.
Amen.
So God was saying, go and mark those that are sighing and crying. Do you know it's a marvelous thing as we press into God? You can't outgive God. If you want God, you're going to get God. It's a principle of God, the principle of sowing and reaping. You go and you begin to feed upon the Word of God. It's going to come out of you.
Yes, amen.
You were talking about a Brother Bert the other night, about Brother Henry Groover. You know, his testimony of Brother Henry Groover walking. The man was diligent. The man knew the Word of God. And the man fed upon the Word of God, and it raised him to another standard.
Amen.
Do you think it was just for Brother Henry Groover? It's for any that takes upon and believes the Word of God and applies it to their soul. Hallelujah. Sure, there is a war going on. There's a war going on in the heavens. The devil and his angels are fighting for our soul. And Michael and his angels are fighting for our soul. But if we believe God, we will prevail and we will overcome. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So it says here, when the mark was in verse 5, it says, and to the others he said in mine hearing. So he says to the writer with the inkhorn, go and mark those that are sighing and crying. But to the others, what did he say? He says, go throughout the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Hallelujah. That's why the great and terrible day of the Lord. If we are marked, if we are sealed, Brother Easy, with the Holy Spirit, if we are sealed that we have the Holy Spirit in our souls, God's judgment is going to pass over our house.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's going to pass over every individual that has been sealed. But judgment's going to come. God's no respecter of persons, brethren. You young people, I look out at you. I implore you, I exhort you to seek the face of God. I exhort you to obey your parents and to walk in righteousness. You will be so blessed as you walk in obedience to God. But you will be so tormented and you will be so polluted if you walk in disobedience and you reject the Word of God and you reject your parents.
Mm.
Hallelujah. What I'm saying is we're trying to save you from a lot of grief.
Yes.
And a lot of destruction.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because it's not something that you can so easily do and walk out and do something. Because you know what the devil's doing? If you go from receiving the mark of God to receiving the devil's mark, he's changing your personality.
Yes.
He's turning you into a beast ever so slowly.
Oh.
Hallelujah. I've seen many men die recently. I've seen people that I knew from an early age all of a sudden gone.
Yeah.
And I've seen them that they didn't know Christ. I've seen them what spirits they submitted themselves to, and I saw them year after year. They were young like you. They were young like you. I was young at one time.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. One bad decision makes another bad decision makes another bad decision, and pretty soon, and you know, the devil gets a hook into you. It begins to work in your mind, and everybody else is wrong but you. Isn't that right? Huh? Sin has a price to pay. Hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm still talking about the end times.
Amen.
We are living in the time of the end where Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming like a thief in the night, and He's coming for those who are waiting for Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to be one of those people, you know. But I still fear God, because I know I can miss it if I don't walk in obedience to Him, if I don't walk so close to Him. Come on. I think we all know our propensity to falter. We all know our propensity to fall into sin. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah. And if not regular sin, familiar sin.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you find out the older you get, the more you have to fight even more family spirit.
That's right.
Huh?
That's right.
It happens in the natural, it happens in the spiritual.
Mm.
I watched my father. My father had two brothers. Strong, strapping farmers. Young men, and they grew up big. When they were older, they were big, but the more they got older, they all started looking alike. I go, oh boy. But you know what? I got a brother that's a year older than me, and now when they see my brother, they think we're twins. It's a hereditary trait in the natural, but it's in the spiritual. And we have to work so hard to overcome. That's why it says in Hebrews, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets us, so that we may run with patience the race that is set before us.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Mm. I want us to turn to Chronicles. I have several more scripture verses, but I want to end them with you tonight. Because, let's see, what did I say? 1 Chronicles? Alright, so I'm saying it now. 1 Chronicles, chapter 12. And let me share something with you, brethren. Some of you brethren I know, some I don't know. But the one thing that I know that God wants us to know, first of all, He wants to bring a revelation to His church of what it really is, for a revelation of the end times and the time that we're in. Hallelujah. Because it's not going to be your doctrine that saves you as much as the reality of what you believe it and you apply it in your life. Hallelujah. Let me just share with you. When I said narrow, but there are a lot of end time groups. And there are a lot of people that believe tabernacle. In fact, when we first got saved, there was a ministry, I won't say his name, but there was a ministry that were very deep in the tabernacle. In fact, you know, we came under the apostolic word, but we came across this group where some of my brethren in our fellowship did. And they went out, they were out in North Carolina, and they came back, they had books. And they had all the types and the shadows. They had booklets filled with them. Hallelujah. And one of them came back and says, we found a shortcut to the kingdom of God. Wasn't no shortcut. They found out there are no shortcuts in the kingdom of God. But let me tell you about this ministry. Oh yeah, they began and they were teaching all the tabernacle, and it came time for the offering. They says, I'm believing God for $1 million offering here. And you know, something was a little strange. But you know, years later, that man fell into sin, and he ended up into ultimate reconciliation. Hallelujah. You know, there's so much in the Word of God that teaches us that it's not just having a knowledge of it. Yes. It's having the Spirit of it.
Yes.
It's having that which God has sent. Hallelujah. And that's why I'm very thankful, and I think many of us here should be very thankful for what God has done in our lives, that in this hour that God has sent the apostolic word, and the pointing of the apostolic word that gives an understanding of God's divine order in the church that's going to keep us on the straight and narrow, that brings us into everlasting life. Or I should say, it brings us to midnight, where we can go in and meet the bridegroom. Amen? Okay, I found this very interesting chapter here in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. And I'm not there yet. Let me look. I thought I pressed my buttons, but I didn't. Okay, there we go. I want us to look first into 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 22. I think I got four verses here. This is the story of David's mighty men and the different tribes of Israel. And we know that David is a type of Christ, right? When we read the story of David, we begin to see we see Christ, because he was a type of him. And it says here, for at that time, now this is the time when David was an outcast because of Saul. But yet God was bringing people to him. And it said here, for at that time, day by day, there came to David to help him, until it was a great host like the host of God. You know, it's talking about the sons of God. It's talking about Christ, the first fruit, and all those thereafter.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, I want to turn to verse 32. I want you to consider these verses here. And it says, and of the children of Issachar. Now, Issachar, his name means that there's going to be a recompense. Can we say amen?
Amen.
It says, and of the children of Issachar, which were men, listen, which were men that had understanding of the times. Did you hear that? They were men that had understanding of the times. Do you know, as we press into God, Daniel is an excellent example of that.
Yes.
He was called greatly beloved. He sought God. He sought God to understand what had happened to Israel as a nation. He sought God, and he was able to read by the scriptures that destruction was accorded unto him, and he repented, not only for himself and as a nation. And God began to reveal to him. God revealed it to him in his time that God was going to rebuild the temple. But he also revealed to him what was going to be in our time. Hallelujah. So it says these men had understanding of the times and to know what Israel ought to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is not going to leave us without knowledge.
Amen.
He is now. He's going to give us an understanding of the times and what to do, Brother Chijoki.
That's right.
Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.
Right.
Hallelujah. The heads of them were 200. Two is the number of witnesses. Two is the number of the first fruit company, the Spirit and the Word. Hallelujah. And all their brethren were at their commandment. Look at verse 33. Of Zebulun. It's called a habitation. It says, such as went forth to battle. They were expert in war. How many of us want to have that strength and the power to overcome the enemy?
Amen.
Hallelujah. It says they were expert in war with all instruments of war. You know what comes to me right now? David, when he fought Goliath, what did he do? He went down to the brook and he took out of it what?
Five stones. Yes.
And it could have been any one of them that he drew out of his pouch to slay Goliath. Hallelujah. So they, with all instruments of war, 50,000. 50 is the number of Jubilee.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now listen to this. Which could keep rank,
oh,
Brother
yeah.
Burke. Wow. To keep rank.
Yes.
To walk in order. Not one. Jostling one. Not one. Wanting to prefer one over another.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I tell you what, if you look at sometimes you can see that, you know, if a ministry is not submitted to God, do you know what the ministry's motivation is? To be their own ministry.
That's right.
Hallelujah. To build their own kingdom.
That's right.
But the people of God here says that they were those that could keep rank, and listen to this, they were not double of heart.
Amen.
They were not two-souled. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God help us. Hallelujah. Last verse, verse 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. Those that had that integrity, those that had that that place of walking in obedience with God, it says they had a perfect heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The sons of God, the two witness company, they're going to have a perfect heart. And what was it? They came to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Make Christ king in your heart,
oh,
brethren. It is an hour that we have to call upon His name. We have to break out of church.
Oh, yeah.
We have to break out of what church, even the Holy Church, Place Church, calls church. There is a time when the people of God have to come to a place of maturity and be able to discern the Spirit of God in their midst. And we're not there yet. We have to get down and we need to pray, God, give us eyes to see.
Amen.
God, give us a discerning spirit, a discerning heart, so that if someone comes in here and begins to minister the Word of God, and not ministering the Word, but begins to minister, and they begin to minister another spirit, that the church is able to discern it.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. They could come in here, they could perform miracles. They could come in here, Brother Coyote, and begin to prophesy over you and tell you what you ate yesterday for lunch. And if you're not careful, and you say, wow, and you open your heart, let me pray for you. Oh, yes, please pray for me. What do you think you're going to get?
That's right.
If it is not the Spirit of God, you're going to get another spirit. Hallelujah. Brethren, it's time for the church to wake up.
Yeah.
It's time for me to wake up. When I say church, it's time for us. It says that even if it were possible, even the very elect, huh? Hallelujah. You know, it's a fearful time we're living in. But I tell you what, if we clean ourselves up, if we cry out to God, if we allow the Spirit of God to work within us, He's going to do that work in us. He's going to change us. He's going to give us discerning heart. He's going to give us the ability to do everything that God put in our hearts to do, as we walk in obedience to Him. Amen. God bless you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.